Yes, welcome to the Game Manx Podcast. This is the official game podcast of BrooklynKing.com, and I'm your host, Brooklyn. This is episode 196. Yes, today is Sunday, January 27th, 2013, and I'm coming to you live from ATL, USA. And we have Scatino, a.k.a. Scat, coming to you live from Manchester, UK. Woo!
What up?
Yes, back in this bitch of the world. That's right. So, yeah, man, we back. And, you know, I don't even know where to start, man. So you were asking me right before we started about Ni No Kuni, and you were like, yo, did you play Ni No Kuni? Nah, I ain't playing Ni No Kuni. You wanna know why I ain't playing Ni No Kuni? I must admit, Ni No Kuni is an awesome-ass name. I think it's a great name. I'm glad they didn't change it to English when they brought it over, but, so, this is the story. So, this is before I even played the demo. I had to go to the store. I have a vacuum, and it's an awesome vacuum. It's really small, and it vacuums up my hardwood floors. It has carpet mode and floor mode, so you don't have to sweep. You can just vacuum the floor. And the shit broke because I didn't clean it out well enough, and some shit got tangled up in it. But it's under warranty, so I took it to I called them up, Hoover, and I said, hey. Of course, I didn't tell them I didn't clean it out. I was like, it's broke. They said I could take it to a service center. Anyway, I was picking it up from the service center that fixed it for free. And it's right by Best Buy. And I was like, fuck, I should just go buy it. This is what I said to myself. I said, if Best Buy has Ni No Kuni, I will buy it. Because I already knew that, you know, Ni No Kuni is not the easiest game to get. Apparently, like, a lot of stores, most stores ordered very limited copies of it. Like, Targets and Best Buys ordered maybe, like, 3 copies of it per store. So, you know, if you didn't go launch day, you probably won't find it. And, so I go to Best Buy, and this is, like, midday on a Friday. This is a Friday. Like, maybe 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 10:30. I get there, and it's funny, they're just all over my ass, like, hey, can I help you with something? Hey, can I help you with something? I'm like, nah, I'm just looking. It's funny, because I knew what I was looking for, but I didn't want the help. Anyway, I was just like, you know what? So I go pick up something else that I need to buy, and then I was like, yeah, you know what? I didn't see it, so I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm looking for this game called Ni No Kuni. And the woman was like, oh, nah, I've never heard of that. So she calls on her little radio. Hey, do we have any games called Ni No Kuni in the back? And then they say no. So she's like, nah, we don't got it. So he was like, you know what? We can check if other stores have it. And I was like, all right, sure, why not? So she goes on her computer and she looks it up. And she's like, none of the stores in Atlanta have it. So, like, there was one store that had 3 copies left, and all of the other stores, it was all sold out in the city. So the store that has it is about a 15-minute drive from there. 20-minute drive from there, and I was like, fuck that. So she's telling me this, and I'm looking right behind her, and there's all of these GTA 5 posters if she has a stack of them. And I'm like, hey, excuse me. Can I get a couple of those GTA 5 posters? And she's like, let me ask. And she's like, let me just finish looking this up and ask. So she tells me the store where I can find Ni No Kuni, which is far as hell, like Cobb, if you're familiar with Atlanta. Cobb Parkway. And which is notorious. That whole area is notorious for pulling over anybody of color. So don't even go there. It's crazy. Yeah, it's like that. The cops there on some bullshit. So I don't like going over there. And so she's like, she calls someone on the phone. She's like, hey, these Grand Theft Auto posters, can we give them away? And the guy was apparently, I don't know what the guy told her on the radio, but It's like a headset. She said, how many do you want? I said three. She gave me like 10 of them and rolled them up, and they're really good quality double-sided posters. Rolled them up for me, gave me a rubber band, and was like, I'm sorry we didn't have it. Rung up the thing I bought, and then I left. And I'm thinking to myself, fuck Ni No Kuni. I just got 10 GTA 5 posters that I'm about to put on eBay. So I'm walking away from there like, wait, I just came in here to buy something and ended up with something that's going to make me way more money. So I was really happy about it. If I sold them for 10 bucks each, that's $100. I'd probably sell them for 20 and make 200. Like, easy. Easy peasy. So that was a really awesome trip, but I didn't really intend for that to happen. So if they're putting out Grand Theft Auto 5 posters, and then the posters say Spring 2013 on them.
Yeah.
So is that what you know of as the tentative release date of this game, Scat?
Yeah, Rockstar have already announced it's coming out this spring. Hopefully without any delays.
Well, I think that it's not going to be, because if they're releasing posters to stores, man, you know? A big chain like Best Buy, and one side of the poster says Spring 2013 on the bottom.
Yeah.
I forgot about that game.
Loads of stores over here have got posters, but in order to get one, you have to pre-order the game.
That's what they are, pre-order posters.
And you get a poster once you pre-order.
That means I need to put these posters on eBay before that. I need to
Somebody buys your poster for $20 and find out they can get one for pre-ordering it for $5. People are gonna be mad.
Oops. Oops. Should have paid attention. Your problem, not mine. So anyway.
Yeah.
But I played the demo though.
Right.
And it was cool. Like, it was like charming. Like, I liked, like, wow, it felt like I was playing a cartoon, playing like one of those Disney, not even Disney, but you know, one of those awesome, high quality animated shows or whatever. I was impressed thoroughly by all of it, really, in the demo. I played through it like twice, and I played through the first scene as two scenes in the demo twice. And then I did the other one in a mountain. It's cool. The only thing that worries me about that game is the story going to be, you know, interesting enough to keep my attention? Like, the concerns that I've heard on the internet are concerns that bother me. You know, the first concern is that there's a lot of grinding. And then the second concern is that the story is really kiddie and that it's really not a lot of meat to it. Like, you know, you're saving your mom, you're trying to save your mom, but are there enough plot twists to keep it, you know, crazy? Because even a game like Zelda has a crazy plot twist where you're like, oh shit, you know? I know Twilight Princess had some interesting ones, a couple interesting ones, but so is the story for 60 hours, 40 hours, you know, after a while, the graphic, the glitz and glamour of the graphic and sound is gonna wear off, you know? Especially if you're seeing the same shit over and over because you're grinding. So I don't know. I want to buy it. I really do. But I don't know. I don't want to get burnt. So I'm like, shit, should I wait or should I just get it now, you know? I don't even know if it's gonna drop in price because there's so few copies of it out there. So that was probably smart on the part of the manufacturer, publisher, right? It's not like they flooded the stores with copies that are just going to drop in price. They just released just enough so that, you know, stores have no reason to drop it in price, you know? It's very smart. Very smart.
Yeah.
It's very smart. So,
but yeah. To me, that's kind of a good marketing tool as well. It's like, and then, you know, they can put out in the news and shit that Ni No Kuni is sold out everywhere. Makes people want the game even more because it must be so awesome that everybody's buying it.
Right.
You know, so...
That's like the Wii. That's what they did.
Create more demand.
That's what they did with the Wii, right? With Nintendo, it was sold out everywhere. And it was just like, that was part of the mystique of it was, oh shit, I don't want to have to wait till, you know, 2 months to get it or wait listed.
My copy's coming on Thursday. My Wizards edition's been paid off, so I'll have it Thursday. Which I'm looking forward to, despite what many people might have said this week.
Like what? What do you mean?
That whole article.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that shit. So, you published the article, and what was the title of it?
Ni No Kuni, Destined to be Forgotten. Which actually wasn't even the original title. I just shortened it so it wasn't overlong.
What was the original title?
Well, it was going to be Destined to be Forgotten, the sad state of the video game industry. Or something like that.
So you basically had the superior title and you shortened it.
Yeah, just I didn't want it to be overlong. And it kind of backfired a lot.
It really did. People were pissed. People were so pissed at you.
I know.
Let me read some of those comments. I mean, but you know, N4G is just a troll site anyway.
Well, see, like, the thing that got to me the most is that people were trying to state that I was trolling the actual game.
You kind of. Well, that title is a troll title, though.
I didn't think of it like that, though. It wasn't meant to be like that.
Because it, you know...
And nowhere in the article was that a troll in the actual game. I wasn't hating on the game. I wasn't hate. I mean, I even state clearly in the article that, you know... It's nothing against the quality of the actual product.
Right.
You know? So... I think a lot of people got the period on just because of the title. And then I think the damage then had already been done. So when I tried to explain myself, people just weren't having it. So I was like, I could have been a bitch and started changing the title and shit. But then I thought, no, because at the end of the day, it's an opinion piece. Although I know the title will attract people to it or detract people from it, you know, it's the actual content of the article which is supposed to be the important bit, and I stand by what I said, you know. So, and that's what I was trying to get across. It was like, it's an opinion. It's not fact. It's not fiction. Not once did I say Ni No Kuni will, for a fact, be forgotten by the entire game industry. I just said, you know, I think in a year or in the first 6 months, 8 months of this year, which is full of sequels to more established games, you know, Ni No Kuni could possibly get lost in the mix, and, you know, it's only going to be those dedicated JRPG fans who are really going to stick with the game when everybody else has moved on to something else, you know? I mean, because there's been lots of JRPGs that have come out this generation, you know, but how many of them do most people remember? Unless you're that dedicated JRPG enthusiast, then, you know, they kind of get swept to the side a bit. And that's just kind of what I was trying to get across in the article.
Yeah. It's just that your title really doesn't speak to what you were trying to say at all. Like, destined to be forgotten by who? Destined, because the people who are reading the article are like, what are you talking about? How could you forget this awesome, excellent game? It's gonna be great. You know what I mean? Like, you got the very people pissed off who haven't even played it but love it, you know? Because I was looking through the comments, and most of the people who commented on it were just like, pissed because they kept saying it's one of the few great JPRGs this gen, and like not even needing to play it to know it was going to be awesome to them because there's so few of them.
But you know, that's what made me laugh too, because I published that article the very day it came out, the very day that game was released in North America. So how many of these people had in fact been able to play so much of that game to know it's one of the greatest JRPGs of this generation?
That's the thing. They didn't need to know that. They didn't even need to play it. I just think your title just fucked. Your title just basically pissed people off. Because that's like saying, you know what, Super Street Fighter 4 destined to be forgotten. Or pick a game. Pick a game that's not super popular but awesome. Bayonetta, destined to be forgotten. Like, yo, it may not have sold that like awesome. I know it went platinum, but or it sold a million, but saying that it's destined to be forgotten just implies that it doesn't really tell you what it's saying. Like, it's kind of like,
yeah, but also there is a question mark at the end of the title. I wasn't making a statement, an actual statement. There is a question mark, as in to say, Ni No Kuni, is it destined to be forgotten? No, as sort of a question, like, ask yourself the question.
I don't think it's destined to be forgotten. I don't think it's destined to be forgotten because the very people that know about it love it. You know what I mean? Like, the very same people who commented so passionately are the same people who will never forget it, even if it bombs. Like, Vanquish didn't do awesome, but it'll never be forgotten, you know, to me and people that love it. So I don't think the title suited the article, but I think the article had a lot of great points about those types of games not being as popular as they probably should be, or, you know, getting the limelight they deserve. So,
I definitely think that's true, and God knows what that dude was saying in the forums. Like, he went nuts when I said Demon's Souls and Dark Souls was a more westernized RPG experience, because if you can't see that, then I think you're a fool.
More westernized than what, though?
Well,
because it's not.
Demon's Souls and Dark Souls is a Japanese RPG. It's a Japanese-made RPG.
Hell yeah.
But it's not your typical JRPG, is it? It's got a lot of westernized elements, you know, in terms of, like, the free flow combat and things like that. And yet, like the things that I was saying in the actual article, so I don't know what he was talking about. I think many people could see it's a more westernized, it's not a western RPG, you know, it doesn't completely rip off, you know, what western developers are doing when they make RPGs, but these western ideas that have been put into it, and these Western elements, which is one of the reasons why I think Dark Souls especially caught on in the West, you know? So, because I think it was more, despite the brutal difficulty, the actual gameplay was a lot more accessible for a lot of people, I believe, so. But yeah, I mean, I can admit now, like, in hindsight, the title of the article wasn't the best. I admit that. But then again, I stand by what I actually wrote within the article. Within the body of that article, I stand by it all. And again, it is an opinion. It's not me saying this is definitely going to happen. I'm just saying this is what I think may happen because of the time frame it's been released in and different things. And I even say at the end, I hope I'm proved wrong, because people like thinking I didn't want this game to succeed. And he even said, if you read it, you'd see that I want this game to succeed. I wouldn't troll a game in an article when I want to see it succeed, you know. That's like me talking mad shit about Uncharted 2 but then claiming that I love the game, even though it's like my favourite game of this generation. So I don't know. Like I said, I stand by what I said, and only time will tell. anyway, but I do think people got kind of a bit too personal.
You got a lot of fucking comments, that's for sure. I just don't think you got the kind you wanted. But hey,
I wasn't even expecting anything, to be honest. Honestly, I mean,
the child molester comments are crazy, though.
I know. It's like, what the fuck is that?
I mean, but you see their point, though.
I can.
It's
see
like anybody can make a question up and just say, you know, what the question in and of itself has no meaning without the adding context to it. That was my point to you, earlier on, like. But anyway, let's move on. You can check that on the M4G, or Brooklyn King has a few of those comments that spilled over. So I'm interested to play the game. I want you to play it first to tell me if you think it's a RPG that I could stand. I've been playing Persona 4 Golden, and I like that game, and I've been trying to stick it out. So but that game is more interesting in terms of the story, in terms of like what you're doing and who you're talking to and the relationships that you manage, you know? I don't know if this little boy running around is going to be able to hold my attention, although the sidekick character is very adult in the way he comes across. Drippy?
Yeah.
His comments are really like sarcastic as hell and right up my alley, you know? From the demo, so I think he may be like the saving grace in just at how he clowns everybody and he's really like sarcastic as hell. So I don't know, we'll see. I want to hear your opinions on that first before I try to buy that or jump into it or whatever, unless I break down and buy it first. But I've been trying to play Persona 4 Golden, finish that and all that good stuff. So but let's move on. Nintendo Direct. So Nintendo had a press conference? They had a press conference.
Wasn't a press conference, it's a direct video feed thing.
Did you watch it? I didn't watch it. I just
I didn't watch it. I was in work when it was on.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't at work, but was I at work? I don't know where I was, but I didn't think it was going to be that great until I heard what they were saying, and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting stuff, you know?
Mm.
So essentially what they did was they announced some new... first of all, they apologized. Iwata apologized for not having any games coming out, right? And then they went ahead and talked about, you know, updates to Wii U coming out spring and summer to speed it up and fix a lot of issues. And then they talked about a few new games that are going to come out. So they said that the Mario Galaxy team is working on a new game, right? Mario. Yeah. And the Zelda is being worked on, and they have a new Yoshi game coming out that's kind of like the
Kirby,
right?
Yeah.
And what else?
You also got a Mario Kart game.
And of course, like, no one is shocked by any of that stuff.
I know, yeah. Like, yeah, so the 3D Mario and the Mario Kart game, as well as Smash Brothers on Wii U and 3DS, are supposed to be being shown off at this year's E3.
Wait, what? That's crazy. So, I don't know. You know what the impression I got from hearing that whole thing? I feel like the people who bought Wii U at launch are all beta testers. Like you're essentially beta testing the system because it's not really fixed yet. Like, they're apologizing because there's not enough games for it. You know, they're going to roll out the virtual console stuff, right? So, I don't know, you know?
I'm going to pick up a Wii U in March when Monster Hunter comes out.
Mm-hmm.
because by that time I think Rayman Legends will also be out too, and of course, which I definitely want to play, and then I'll play that Mario game, New Super Mario Brothers Wii U, or whatever it's called. So I'm definitely going to pick one up. I mean, it's obvious that it must be Super Mario Galaxy 3.
Not necessarily. I would love for them to make a Super Mario World 2. Have they ever made a Super Mario World 2?
No.
That would be awesome. But then again, that wouldn't be 3D, right?
No.
Some type of Mario... Yeah, it may not be Mario Galaxy, but it should be 3D, like a 3D land, you know, like some kind of like 3D Mario. I'd rather them make... I don't know. I don't want them to do a Galaxy 3, though. I feel like Galaxy 2 kind of like... did it, you know? That even Galaxy 2 started to feel like a lot of the same, even though it was different levels, but, you know? I don't know. I want it to be new and refreshing with the same level of quality as Galaxy, in terms of, like... So I don't know what they're going to come up with.
But they also announced that the release in Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD,
yes,
as well, which, I remember playing a bit of Wind Waker on the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't really feeling it at the time. But then they used the same art style for the DS games. I think it was Spirit Tracks, I think it was. Legend of Zelda Spirit Track. Kind of used the same art style for that. So, I mean, the whole cel-shaded look lends itself to HD really well anyway, so you know, I think it's definitely gonna be a great looking game. So I've been looking for, I'll look forward to be playing that. But then again, so at E3, when they announced this new Mario game and the Mario Kart, you know, are they gonna be released this year though? That's what I'm thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Has enough been done to these games to get them out in time for the holidays, or are they thinking, oh shit, we best announce these games quick because people are getting a bit antsy about not being many games on the Wii U at the moment? So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how far along we actually are in the development process at E3. But, you know, like I say, I'll pick up a Wii U in March when Monster Hunter comes out, and then, you know, see what that's like, because Mad Dragon raves about these Monster Hunter games. I've never actually played one, you know, so I definitely would like to try it out. And the fact that this Wii U one has like cross-platform saves with the 3DS version, and it's got online multiplayer and all that stuff, so yeah, I'd definitely like to check it out.
Hmm.
But they also showed off that new RPG as well by, I think, is it Monolith Studios, something like that? Which kind of looks like it's going to be the Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Quite possible. Speculation going around. So
yeah,
looks pretty cool.
They showed that. They showed the wonder. You know what I'm going to talk about. The wonderful 101, which is the Platinum Games Kojima-san game from Bayonetta fame. And that looks like Beautiful Joe meets Pikmin. And so it'd be interesting. I hear what you're saying. I think I'm gonna get a Wii U, but for me it's all about when, right? And I don't know if Bayonetta is gonna be when I'm gonna buy it, definitely. I don't know what could come out before then to get me to buy one. A new 3D Mario game would do it. You know? That would do it. I'd buy it for that. Because the quality of those games is just superb. And then the HD factor would just be like, alright, I'm in. You know? I might as well just start putting away some money every time I get paid just for that right now. I might as well start. It's gonna happen. It's all about when, though. But I still do feel that the early adopters of Wii U are gonna get screwed, you know?
Because
it can only drop in price, and even if it doesn't, like, why did you get it just to not, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's no point. I don't feel like I'm missing out at all having not bought one over the holiday season. So, is that, you know?
Hell yeah.
Hell to the yeah. So, Nintendo came with some stuff. I guess they're saying they're working on a lot of shit. I just imagined, like, some sweatshops. Some, like, sweatshop-looking game development studios. I mean, I think there's a lot of dudes in Japan not getting any sleep, man, right now. Seriously. Because I think Nintendo's feeling the fire, right? Because, like, what are they going to come with when 360 and PS3 starts talking all that crazy shit they're going to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think they need to... Nintendo needs to fucking feel that urgency. I think they do.
Bring the heat at E3.
Yeah, Nintendo's going to have to bring the software heat, and then the other joints... The other Xbox and PS3, they're going to bring... Sony, they're going to have to bring their hardware. One thing that did just come out is that I'm looking online, and apparently this week there'll be an update about Killzone Mercenaries for Vita. And apparently there'll be an update this week. A new issue of a Polish magazine has already hit the internet with some new pictures and a few... And first details, and here are some of the first details. One is that the engine is nearly one-to-one from the PS3 version. They added a few new gimmicks to the engine so they can utilize more PS Vita. So I'm thinking gimmicks, I'm hoping that's not like touch bullshit, which it probably is. The game is gorgeous, clear and crispy textures, big draw distances. Character models are awesome, same with the animation, stable frames per second. Even with gigantic action inside levels. Literally, the game is like portable Killzone 3 looking better than Uncharted. It looks absolutely staggering.
So, have you actually got screens there?
They're on the internet. I'm trying to find them right now. This site doesn't let them post it, so I'm looking on NeoGAF.
I'm not gonna get my hopes up for it yet. Until I see the game in actual motion. You know.
Oh, here we go. Found it. It's on N4G2.
Send me the link.
Okay. I mean, come on. You know it's gonna be awesome. This is gonna be the shooter that Vita needs. Yup. Oh, this is it. PSX Extreme magazine. Oh, wow. Alright, let me send you the link right now. They have a whole spread on it. And Tearaway. Final Fantasy 13. Hold up. So, I think they need to drop Killzone Mercenaries ASAP. That needs to come before E3. You know?
Yeah.
They do. Needs to come. So, guess they're ramping up for that. It looks good. Well, they don't really have that many screens in this magazine, but... That's awesome. It makes sense that it would be in a European magazine first, because Guerrilla Games is in Europe, you know? They're based out of, what country is that? They're like German? They're not German, they're Dutch or some shit like that. So, it's not far-fetched. Anyway, so, I'm excited about that. Killzone on Vita? Come on, son. You know what I got to say to that, Scat? This is what I got to say to that. This is what I got to say to that.
All the way up till release, and you hope it doesn't suck.
Yo, you know what? Oddly enough, I was playing Killzone 3 today, and it's a pretty fun game. It's a fun game. I told you I backpedaled / corrected my whole theory on Killzone 3. Because when I looked at my time spent playing the game, it was like 40 plus or 60 hours or something crazy. So it was like, yo, obviously the game wasn't shit if I played it for 60 hours. Like, I don't play games for 40 or 60 hours that suck that much, you know? Mm. So I needed to check myself. Like, yo, come on, son. That's all I got to say. So I think they can make good games. They just need story. I think the story in that game was just like, what? But the gameplay and the graphics are still... It's still one of the best-looking games out for any system. Like, that game looks tremendously... Like, looks stupendous. I'm trying to find big words. Gigantus. It's a great-looking game. So, anyway, moving on. So, Dead Space 3, man. Last week, you went on... You were talking about... I was about to say you went on a rant. You went on about Dead Space 3. And I finally got to play it. And I don't know if I agree with you. So, you said that... Correct me if I'm wrong. You said that the game... You felt like it didn't feel like Dead Space to you. That it felt like an action game like Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that I understand I don't disagree with all of what you said. Let me say that. I'm not going to sit here and be like, scat, you're wrong. Because I don't think that you're wrong. I think that if you think about what they have to do, it makes sense. Because I think you're right in that it's definitely a departure from Dead Space 1. But I think if they made Dead Space 1 all over again, we'd all be pissed, you know? Because the thing about Dead Space 1 is that, yes, he was trapped in a ship, and your whole game was getting through the ship, you know, the big-ass ship. But I don't want to do that anymore. I realized that. I was playing a game, and I was like, you know what? If I had to play another game where I'm going through the ship, what would be the point of that? Like, it's been done. So I think they had to do that. Like, even Part 2... You had some parts where you were in the ship, but they had to break up that monotony by taking you to the city and all of that stuff, you know?
Mm.
So I think logically they kind of have to do that. And it's not that big of a departure in that, you know, yeah, you're outside on the planet, some parts of it. But then also, you know, they had the part where you're back in the big space station that kind of felt like the ship with the doors and... So I don't know, man. I think they have to kind of switch it up a little bit. And it felt like Dead Space to me with the, you know, creepy crawlies coming at you and stuff. So I don't know. I felt like the single player was good. Demo was cool. I don't know if I'm going to buy it. I think I'm going to buy it on PC, obviously, because of the performance stuff. But it looked great. It played fine. I didn't see anything... about it that I thought was like, oh no, this is gonna suck type, you know? I don't know. That was just me though.
Hmm. Yeah, my problem wasn't the environment. I think it was more to do with the creation of the atmosphere and how like thick and fast the enemies came at you. Like mm-hmm. the amount of shootouts that were in that demo, right. And again, this is just a demo.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, this isn't, you know, fully representative of the final game, but I think just with the game being fully co-op this time, that I think, you know, the fight scenes, the gun shootouts, everything, they have to come a lot more quickly. You know, to necessitate that co-op experience, you know, to keep the thrill levels, the excitement levels up whilst you're playing in co-op. I think because if there's too much downtime devoted to exploration or a lot of just building up tension, you know, walking alone down corridors, dark corridors, searching for guns, searching for ammo, then I think that's really... probably gonna hinder the co-op experience if you're playing with somebody. It's all fine if you're playing alone.
Yeah.
But in a co-op scenario, it doesn't really fit.
It depends. Depends on how they do it. You know? But to my knowledge and what the demo tells you is that the co-op stuff and the single player stuff are totally different, separate elements. So it's not like you're playing, it's not like Resident Evil 5 where you're playing through the exact same scenarios in co-op that you are in single player. The demo says play in co-op with different scenarios that expand your knowledge of what happens. So apparently when you play in co-op, it's different parts of the story that you know, that it pieces together different things. So it seems like they're designing those parts especially for co-op. It's not the same exact thing. So I don't know. I thought that was the best way to do it, you know? So that they could get that, all that stuff right. So they can get the, you know, amount of enemies right for two players, and they don't have to cram, you know, they don't have to kind of go around it and just maybe we're gonna put two enemies here instead of one and stuff like that, you know. So I don't know, that to me seemed like the best way they could possibly do it. I don't see a net downside to that personally, but you know, we'll see. Though you could, you know, then again, I hate hate is such a strong word, right? I haven't really found much enjoyment in the Halo 4 co-op stuff. Particularly specifically the Spartan Ops missions. I think they're boring as fuck. And those are specially created for co-op. So, you know, I think maybe there's something to what you're saying. You know?
I think it's probably more to do that if I was to sit down now today and play Dead Space 3 alone, am I going to be playing through the game thinking, you know, knowing this game is tailored more to the co-op experience? You know, is that what I'm going to be thinking about it? Am I going to be sat here thinking like,
well, if it's the co-op part,
I can tell this bit was built for, you know, co-op.
But that won't happen because they're making the co-op levels inaccessible in the main campaign. They're two different things. You know what I mean? So each are built for just what they are, and not like Resident Evil 5 where you have a, you know, second character that trails you the whole game because of that. You know, because the whole game is weird, you know. I think that's the best way they could do it, man, personally. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, so what are you... So, are you basically saying that you're only going to be able to experience the full Dead Space 3 story by playing in co-op?
No, they're saying the opposite. I'm sorry, they're not saying the opposite. They're saying that you can play through the single player campaign and play through the story of what happens. But if you play in co-op, it fills in even more information about what happens. So the co-op levels provide insight into the story that supplements the single player. But it doesn't, you can still play through single player and never touch co-op and still get a full storyline. But if you play co-op, the core co-op campaign, it's like a co-op. The co-op campaign is like a separate campaign. It's the same way the Spartan Ops is separate from the main game in Halo 4. But if you play Spartan Ops, it gives you more insight on what's happening during what happens in the game. You know, it fleshes out everything else is going on, meanwhile that's going on, this is going on, kind of thing, you know?
I'm interested to see the reviews. I'm definitely interested to see what Jim Sterling of Destructoid has got planned for this one. Because he's been tweeting about it, saying he's finished the game, and he's definitely in two minds about his thoughts on it. You know? So I'm quite interested to read that one, just to see. But again, you know, it's a demo. I ain't played the full thing, but from what I played of the demo, yeah, it looked gorgeous. Controlled well. Didn't make me hype for the game, though. It wasn't like, it didn't sell me on it. Like, oh shit, I have to have this game. It didn't sell me to the point where it was like, I'm going to beat Dead Space 2 tonight, ready for Dead Space 3. It's more like, we'll see. In fact, I can pretty much guarantee that I won't pick up Dead Space 3 until at least the second half of this year, if that.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the kind of game that drops in price like fucking... Dead Space 2 dropped in price so dramatically, I felt bad. I felt like, what the fuck about buying it? Because, like, by the time I... Like, a week or two after the game dropped, the price dropped, like, $20, like, crazy. Like, Dead Space 2 dropped in price so fast, it was so crazy. The only game I can remember that dropped... there's some games that dropped... Red Faction Armageddon dropped even faster in price. I'm thinking of sequels that, like, just dropped in price something crazy. Dead Space Armageddon definitely did that. Infection Armageddon. Dead Space Armageddon, I'm making up shit.
Brand new games.
Dead Space 2 was an awesome game, man. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I had some really frustrating... It was really frustrating to beat the last boss, though. But I felt like a champion when I did it. I love that game. I really enjoyed Part 2. And I had a friend of mine ask me, hey, I want to play a third-person shooter game that's really, you know, whatever. And they came over to my house and I showed them the game. And they loved it. They were like, oh my god, these graphics are crazy. If you really remember back, Dead Space 2 looks great. It was a great-looking game.
Yeah.
And Part 3 looks great as well. Like, I was looking at it, I was like, oh, they, you know... Current console games look okay. Like, there's certain developers that really can make it look push the, you know, graphics on it. I was playing Bulletstorm today, because I was like, shit. It's one of those games that I have that, like, I can't sell it, like what we were talking about last week, because it's so cheap everywhere, like, $10. And that game looks really good. I was actually having some fun with it, but that game looks really good. That Unreal Engine, that was one of the later versions of it, looks good. Anyway. Anywho. let's...
Go on, talk about Metal Gear Rising.
Let's take a little quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about Metal Gear Rising. Yeah, let's do that. Yo, yo. Yeah, man. Had to potty break. Drinking all this tea. So, I'm doing this cleanse thing, man. You were right. Scat called me out before the podcast. Because I was like, yo, I need to make this tea. I had a tea problem. And I was like, I'm drinking this tea. And he was like, well, you're not doing this cleanse shit again. And I was like, fuck you. You don't know me. But yeah, now I'm doing this cleanse. It's awesome, though. It's like you know, you drink this fiber drink in the morning. You drink 2 glasses of water. And then you basically drink, like, about, what, almost 2 liters of water every day. And then you drink this special tea at night, and the tea makes you poop. So basically what it is that the fiber drink gives you a lot of fiber, and the water makes you really, 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 you know, it makes sure that your body is super hydrated, so it loosens everything up, and it basically flushes your system out, because the fiber gets everything out of your colon and your, you know, whatever. So it kind of like gets, it loosens up all of the stuff in your system that doesn't quite make it out. And over the course of 30 days, you keep doing it. The water cleans you out. The fiber cleans you out. And the water loosens it. The fiber cleans you out. And you kind of get all that stuff out of your system so that your body can absorb nutrients better. Because that's part of the problem, is that what happens to a lot of people is that, you know, when you're eating, over time, you have like plaque that builds up in your colon, in your intestines, so that, you know, you actually eat more because your body doesn't absorb all the nutrients in your food. You don't only absorb nutrients in your stomach, you absorb most of them in your colon and in intestines, and over time, you know, you have all this shit that builds up around the walls of your colon, particularly if you don't drink enough water, because water is what keeps it loose, you know, keeps everything liquid and flowing. So it's kind of good to make sure you drink enough water and you have enough fiber to make sure that all that shit exits your body. So what this does is it kind of loosens everything and pushes it out. You know, it's kind of good. And you lose weight too, because you're drinking so much water. And you lose all the weight of all the shit that builds up. You'd be surprised how much shit you have, you know, that doesn't quite make it out. So, it's just something I do. Maybe I try to do it at least once a year. I probably should do it twice, but I felt like it was time to just kind of, you know, I haven't been drinking any liquor. That's why I'm drinking tea instead of my favorite scotch or bourbon or something. Some man's drink. Or whatever. But nah, it helps, you know. It's kind of, you gotta kind of think about that stuff. You know, I had a friend die of colon cancer, actually, last year. And actually, I have a friend of mine, a very close friend, who has colon problems, who he has to now take these pills for the rest of his life. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is that even before all this happened to him, I've known him for, let's say, at least 15 years now. Damn, time flies. And he's always been the type of dude he's never really been a vegetable guy. Like, if we buy a burger or any sandwich, he'll, like, hold the veggies on it. So he'll be like, no lettuce, no tomatoes, no, you know, he doesn't like vegetables like that. And the thing about that is that, you know, over time, if you think about how many servings of vegetables he's missed, like, right? So you think, if you have a burger and you have, like, lettuce and tomatoes and onions on it, that's a good serving or two of vegetables, right? And if you think of every meal you don't have those vegetables in, over time, that's a lot of, like, that you missed out on. And the good, and vegetables, you know, are that natural agent of cleaning you out. Like, a lot of fiber and a lot of, like, it's just really, you know, it's one of the things that goes through your body really well, you know? So, he ended up having problems you know, I'm making that unscientific connection, but I don't think it's that far-fetched, you know, that the person that I know that doesn't like vegetables has colon problems, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah, man, I think, you know, it's important to kind of eat right and stuff like that, so, you know, kind of think about it, or whatever, you know, so, I've just been trying to do that, and, I don't know how it is in the UK, but, like, in the United States, man, we have a huge problem right now, well, yeah, I mean, it is definitely a problem right now, it's been a problem for the last 20, 30 years here, but the way the meat industry here is horrible, you know? Like, the way meat is mass-produced here is kind of, like, sad. It's a sad state of affairs. You know, and I don't know if it's that way where you live in England because of how, you know, your country is not as big as ours, but in order to meet the demand for meat, the way the meat is produced is not really cool, you know? It's like, they have, like, these, like, meat, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of the documentaries on it, but the conditions that the animals are kept in is, like, really sick, you know?
Yeah.
And all that stuff, and it's really disgusting, and I've been trying to eat less of it. You know, I still like to eat a, like, steak or burger every now and then or whatever, you know? But I try not to eat as much of it just because I know that I don't want to eat stuff that... I don't want to eat an animal if the animal's been miserable, you know? Because I'm kind of crazy enough to believe that there's some kind of, like, karma, or not even karma, but just like you are what you eat. So if you're eating miserable animals that are, like, you know, in horrible conditions, some of that shit has to kind of somehow, I feel like that you get that, you know, in consuming too much of that.
That's why I only ever eat free range eggs.
Yeah, me too. I got those too. I just bought some today. But, you know, so that's just how I feel and why I've just been cutting down on that meat shit. And, you know, as much as I can, I try to limit it. I eat a lot of fish too. And that's even a problem with fish too, is like, even a lot of the fish we eat now is not even real. I mean, it's real fish, but it's not even from the sea anymore. You know, you buy shrimp and it's farm raised. It's like, the fish is farm raised. They're basically not, it's not even from the ocean anymore. It's sad. Like, that shit is nuts, dude. You know, it don't even, it probably doesn't even taste the way it used to taste. You probably,
yeah,
go back,
you definitely have to be careful about the shit you're buying these days.
Yeah, man, you're putting that shit in your body and then people are like, wonder why, you know, my kids have birth defects, or I wonder why I have, you know, I'm getting all this cancer and all this other shit. So, I don't know. I've been really trying to be cautious about that stuff, man. But anyway. Anyways, but back to this. Every time I hear this song, this song right here, anytime I hear any Third Strike music, I always feel like playing the game immediately. This is, I think Third Strike has the best soundtrack of any Street Fighter game, personally. But anyway, so Metal Gear Solid Rising. Metal Gear Solid Rising. Did you get to play the demo?
I played the demo ages ago.
Oh shit! You were even posted shit. Show off. Why do you like to show off, Scat? So, yeah, I mean, I think I played the demo like 5 times, dude. You know I did. I was pleasantly surprised. I think it looks awesome. The game looks good. It's trying to be
so,
60 frames per second.
Did you play it on 360 or the PS3 version?
Both.
Oh, alright. Nah, yeah, I can't, because obviously I played it 360. And then I read about Digital Foundry done their analysis, mm-hmm. and they were talking about how the cutscenes are not compressed than that on the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played it on PS3, and I must admit, it the cutscenes at least look a lot better for the game.
Yeah, it does. And I played it on both mostly because the 360 did their update like at midnight the night before the game, the demo dropped. So I just queued it up and then played that first because it was available first. And then when the PS3 dropped their demo, I just downloaded it with the Dead Space 3 demo and then played it that way. But so yeah, I did play it a lot because I played it like at least 2 times on each system. And a lot of the reason, I think the major reason why I played it more than once is because it didn't make sense to me when I first played it. Like when I first played it, I was underwhelmed and I was confused with how I had to play the game. It felt awkward with the cutting and going into like that bullet time mode, blade mode, which is bullet time, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't click. And then like when I played it the third time, it clicked and I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, it's really not, I think the demo does a bad job of easing you into the combat. Like, it's like, they put you in a room with no real enemies, and then next thing you know, you're fighting real people, and it's kind of like, oh shit, well, this is not like I'm doing it, you know, to like a dummy or something, or one of those cardboard cutouts that you chop in the demo part. So yeah, it was kind of weird. But I think if you keep trying it, it clicks. You know, the game is really one of those. It's offensive. Bayonetta is defensive. So Bayonetta is a game about dodging and striking. You know, dodging. You're always dodging and counter. You're always dodging and then striking. So it's defensive. But Metal Gear Solid Rising is offensive. So even in how you defend, it's like you're doing parries. So a parry is a really offensive tool. Even like Third Strike, that music out from the music I was just playing. A parry, you have to hit forward. You're hitting towards the enemy to counter, you know, with an attack when they attack. And that's kind of how you do it in Rising. And that opens you up from their stun. And there is a dodge move that's pressed if in 360, you press X and A. Or in 360, on PS3, it's square and X. And that does like kind of like a sidestep, but it's a really not the fastest move. So you could tell that it is available, but mostly your go-to move is the parry. So it's a really offensive game. That sounds funny, offensive. And it's cool. I think I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. I like the fact that they have scoring in it. You know, after every encounter, you get a grade, so that gives you that whole arcadey, I want to do it better next time feel to it, you know? I think the animations of Raiden is awesome. I'm just, you know, I like it a lot. I think I'm going to love it. You know, I've been on an action game kick for the past few weeks, and this is right up my alley, of course, so I think it's going to, I don't think a lot of people are going to be as jazzed about it, because I think that the demo really does a bad job of teaching you how to play the game, you know? There should have been a combat portion of the demo, like for a regular, like they don't teach you how to parry and, well, they kind of do tell you how, but they don't really tell you about dodging, and there's a lot of stuff that they don't tell you in the demo. So, you know, I hope, you know, the game is going to sell because it's Metal Gear, but it's going to turn some people off, I think. That's my theory.
I thought it was awesome. Can't wait to play it.
Oh, wow. So what did you like the most out of it? What was your thing?
I don't know. I think it's just because Raiden is just such badass in it. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, you can just slice people up and shit. Yeah. I think the combat was very satisfying. You know?
Yeah, it is. That's true.
And I think with the parry system and everything, there's going to be a lot more depth to it as well. So, to keep it interesting throughout. I mean, as long as I think some of the environments are quite varied, so it doesn't all look same throughout, and, you know, they've got a good story, then hell yeah, should be a top-notch game.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
I'm definitely picking up day one. See, that's the thing with demos. A demo is supposed to whet your appetite, I always say this, and Metal Gear Rising demo definitely did.
Yeah, for that me
demo,
too.
That demo made me think, I have to play more of this game.
Yes.
I want to pick this game up.
Agreed.
Straight away. Right. Other demos just don't do that. Dead Space 3 demo did not do that.
Yeah, it had all the things I wanted it to have in it. Like, it's like, wow, it's unique enough. It's not too much like a Bayonetta or any of the other DMC type games, you know? I think that's smart that they did it that way. Like, not making it defensive like Bayonetta or offensive, like, it feels different than a combo game like DMC.
Yeah.
You know, there's not, you don't have auto combos in the game and stuff like that. It's all about you figuring out how you want to slice these people up, and do you try to slice them all at once? Do you, you know, like, you set up your scenario. It has a lot of combat. It has to, like, all these moves you can do that I was learning every time I played the demo, you know. I was like, oh shit, I can jump and do like a big jump kick into the lightning, jump kick into the gecko instead of getting kicked if I approach it from the floor. You know, I was like learning different things and I was feeling like a badass the more I played it. So that was really, for me, exciting, you know, to know that the game is going to reward me for learning how to play it, you know?
Yeah.
And just the feeling like a badass, along with how it looks. That's always, I always love games like that. And stuff like that. That's one of the things I liked about Bayonetta, is that as you got better at it, the game is like a spectacle in and of itself. Like, you do crazy shit, and it's like, oh shit, I just did that. So yeah, that shit is gonna be dope, day one for me too. I read somewhere that Platinum Games was talking about it, or maybe it was a video interview, and they were talking about how this is game, they're putting so much into it because they know that this is, like, for them, their chance to, like, really, like, get that next level of notoriety, you know? Mm. Like, it's a triple A franchise, and it's, like, I don't think, to me, Bayonetta is a triple A game, you know, in terms of quality and scale and everything. To me, Bayonetta is always triple A, but it didn't, you know, it didn't have a triple A budget and all that. And I think Platinum Games has come into this game, this Metal Gear Solid Rising game, as their chance to be seen as a big league player, you know? And I think now that they have big league player, I think they're starting to get that respect, you know? I think they have big league player respect. They're starting to get there, but I think this is their chance to really solidify that, their place, you know, to kind of have companies come to them and say, hey, and publishers and stuff say, hey, look, we fuck with you. We want to fuck with you, you know?
Mm.
So I think that what they were saying is this, they know that this is their chance for that, and they're not going to, they're putting their all into it, you know? They want to make sure that they hit their mark because of the opportunity that Kojima brings, you know? In his franchise. So I think that I know it's gonna be fresh. Like, come on, they've made too many dope ass games for this not to live up to that. So I'm really excited to see how, you know, how it all plays out. Like, how does this fit in the greater Metal Gear universe? You know, I think it's a smart move for Kojima to say, yo, you know what, let's get into the action game business. You know, like, Metal Gear doesn't have to just be limited to just Snake, you know, and like, why not have a Raiden type series, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it should have happened a long time ago. It's just fucking smart business. And the fans want so much Metal Gear that you could do that. You know, you could make twice as much money. You could have this team working on Rising games, and then you could have this team working on Metal Gear Solid games, and then you have a constant flow of things for people to engage within that universe. It's just fucking, it's just smart, you know? I think it's just smart. I mean, Nintendo been doing it forever with Mario, you know, you'll have fucking your 2D Mario than your 3D Mario, you know. Why not? It's just smart.
Why not?
Why not? Two different types of games. Shit, Nintendo has Paper Mario, you know, all these different types of Mario games that you can play. Making that money. you know? That shit is just smart business. And it's good fan service. And it's good because I'm not always into stealth games. Like, I like a little bit of stealth here and there, but stealth games, I don't always have the patience for that shit, you know? To wait for the soldiers to fucking walk their pattern three times before I decide to make a move. Like, that shit gets... right? Like, come on. Who wants to do that all the time, dude? Like, maybe I need to play that to learn patience because I don't always have it. You know, maybe that's my own gaming ADD. Serious. I'm being dead serious.
You learn patience with Dark Souls.
And that's why I hate that fucking game, but I don't, I respect it. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, maybe I'll pick that game up at, when it's like on Steam for $9, which it will be next time they have a sale in the summer or something. So, what else do we have on our agenda? Was that it?
I think that was it.
Okay. So, guess we can get into what we've been playing.
Games we played this week.
Yep.
You go first.
Okay. I'm playing a lot of... So, I forgot to mention last week that I ended up playing Max Anarchy / Anarchy Reigns with Platinum Games last week. So, I was... They had some stuff... When the game launched... The week after the game launched, they had this whole thing where they were on... PSN and 360, and you could, you know, basically play with the developers. So I got in on some games with them and was playing with them, and that was pretty fun because they had the director of the game, Inaba, and some other folks actually on chat and all that stuff. But they had the dude, the community manager, was translating questions to the developer and stuff like that.
Mm.
I asked, my question was whether they were coming out with DLC for it, but I didn't get a response. But they were, you know, I think one of the comments they made was that with Anarchy Reigns, they were just trying to make a really fun game. Like, that was it. Just something that's fun. And I think that's what it is. So, that was fun. I wanted to mention that was pretty cool. They had that, and that's kind of cool. I want to do more of those with other developers, too. I know Naughty Dog has done that, and some other developers. I think Halo 4, they kind of do that, where they have times when the developers get on online and play with you.
Rockstar do it a lot.
Oh, okay, Rockstar. But that was cool. It was weird, bugged out because of the time difference, because I think like it was like evening here, and it was like noon in fucking Japan. It was kind of crazy. But yeah, that was cool. So I played... I've been playing a lot of Anarchy Reigns. A lot. That game is very fun and very frustrating, but mostly fun. And I think that people are missing out. The game is dope. I've been playing that. Played some Halo 4 yesterday online. That game is still fun. Playing some Super Street Fighter 4 with Talon and Spacebars. We had a lobby yesterday. What? What's so funny?
He told me that you got your ass beat yesterday.
I mean, yo, see, the thing about it is this. this is what I'm saying. Like, honestly, if he's going to use Eva Ryu, and I'm using C Viper, dude, like, come on. Like, obviously, you're going to win. Any Shoto character against a character like that is going to be a slaughter. Like, come on. he should know that. Like, whenever I pick Ken, he was losing, though, so... But he I don't want to play Ken.
He said he hit you with a Zangief anti-air ultra into your super or some shit like that.
Yeah, I was using C-Viper, and he was using Zangief, and... He did one of those things where he catches you in the air and spins you. But it's like I said, I'm using C-Viper, who's hands down confirmed the hardest character in the whole game to learn how to use. So, I'm not even playing it for bragging rights. I'm just playing it to learn. So, whatever. I'm not even going to comment. It's, you know what I'm saying? I'm not using my character, so it's like, whatever. You know what I mean? Now, if I'm using Ken and he does that, then that's a different story, but that's not happening. He knows that. But nah, we had fun though anyway. It was me, him, and Space. We played some games. And, you know, whatevers. I'm, you know, planning to play more of that. Of course, I'm back on that. Played some Akai Katana, whatever. Cave Shooter on 360. It's awesome. Been playing. I'm trying to go through the console stuff first. Bulletstorm today. Since I figured I can't sell it, I might as well try to play it. And it's pretty cool. You know, something to do. Playing that. Playing some Wipeout HD. Was playing some of that on Vita. 2048. Bayonetta, I was playing that on 360 yesterday for a couple, like Friday and Saturday. That game is awesome. You know, I already love that game. And it still looks great and plays great. I'm trying to beat it on hard mode. It's funny because I only beat the game once. Although I think I beat it on normal once, but maybe even more than once because I was, redoing levels and stuff, so I'm trying to beat it on hard mode. I haven't unlocked a bunch of stuff. I know Illmatic has like unlocked a bunch of shit. There's like a hidden boss, like after you beat all of this other stuff, you get to unlock, and I'm trying to just do all of that stuff. There's a lot of stuff I haven't seen yet in that game, so I'm trying to continue to play that. What else? I know I'm forgetting some stuff, but I wrote it down. No, I didn't. On Vita, Battle Royale, Persona 4 Golden. I'm actually finally at this boss that I wanted to try to get to. I need to beat it. I beat the boss, and then there's like another surprise boss, and then I've died. So I have to redo it. Right. So I got to redo it because at least it lets you continue from the beginning of the boss, and I don't have to redo the stage, but... So I need to do that.
That game's finally coming out in the UK at the end of February.
Oh, that game is awesome. You should totally get that shit as soon as it comes out. If you're not too engrossed in Nino Kuni.
See, that's the thing. I really want to buy it, but it's coming out, I think, the same week as Metal Gear Rising, a week before the new Tomb Raider game, 2 weeks before the new God of War game. You know, it's like, where am I going to find the time to play another 100 plus hour RPG? Because hopefully I'll still be right into Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody could play that and Persona at the same time. Because they're both pretty similar. Well, they're both RPGs, JRPGs. You know, and Persona 4 can really grab into you. Golden. So... Yeah, playing that and Ninja Gaiden Sigma Plus. I've been playing a shit ton of that, and I want to beat that before the next one comes out in February. So February seems like it's going to be a game. It's going to be like some shit's going to be hitting, you know? Right? When does God of War Ascension come out?
March. Middle of March.
I saw the Digital Foundry analysis of that game. They said it's even better than God of War 3 in graphics-wise. Which is crazy, because I put in God of War 3 the other day, and I was like, yo, this game looks crazy. That game looks great. I want to replay that one.
Yeah.
I have all these games I haven't even replayed yet. Like, God of War 3 I only beat once, and Bayonetta I never beat on hard. I have a lot of games that I really can, I'd rather, I don't know, I was just thinking about that. I'd rather replay a really great game than play a new okay game, you know? That's how I've been feeling lately. So, we'll see. I wish I could just... Yeah. That's how I feel. Anyway. So, that's what I've been playing.
Okay. I've not really played that much. Just the usual. Some FIFA. Some Dark Souls. Been playing a bit of Jetpack Joyride on the Vita because it got patched with the button support now, so I was playing some of that. What else been playing? Playing a bit of Kingdoms of Amalur, and I think that is probably about it, really. Honestly, I've been like, I've just been too excited for Ni No Kuni that I've really not bothered playing anything else.
Wait.
Substantial.
Yeah, but what have you... I saw you playing... Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I've been trying to play games, like other games in my backlog, but then I just can't be arsed. Because my brain is so focused on Ni No Kuni this week and putting the time into that game, and I start my new job on Tuesday and I'm thinking, is it even worth me trying to get into any other games at this point, you know?
Yeah, but that, oh, because so, that comes out Friday. Between now and Friday you could beat a game though.
Not when I work 12 and a half hour shifts.
Oh, that's true.
And I work, I'm in this week Tuesday and Wednesday. I should get Ni No Kuni on Thursday, and I'm working Friday. So I'll have Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday to play as much of Ni No Kuni as I can before the next podcast. So, yeah. That's just what I'm looking forward to. That'll be my first game purchase of 2013.
Damn.
Yeah, so... That's... just what I'm looking forward to. Looks really good. And you know what? I don't even think I've heard... I don't think I've read one bad review on it.
Well, have you read the Verge review? Not the Verge. Polygon review?
No.
Well, you should read it.
I think the worst one I've seen up to now was... I think it was Game Informer. And that was a 7.
Well, Polygon gave it a 6.5.
Wow.
And they said, mostly they said it was like grindy and the story, the same things I said, they agreed on. They said it was grindy and that the story wasn't really that deep. Like, it kind of like, you know, it was a throwaway.
Yeah. I mean, there's one of the things that I liked about the demo. And obviously one of the things that's, you know, quite big within the game is the whole thing with these familiars, these little creatures. So because I'm like a huge Pokemon fan,
right?
Training these little creatures and everything is like right up my alley.
Well, dude, if you feel that way, then you should totally, you're gonna fucking love Persona 4 Golden, because that's exactly what it is. Like, the same, well, you know, I agree Ni No Kuni is more direct in that they look like Pokemon, right? But Persona 4 Golden, you basically, that's what your personas are, right? It's all of these creatures or whatever that you can level up and pick which ones you want and create, combine, fuse them to make new ones if you want. So it's the same kind of curation of these and of these creatures, you know, or whatever. And each creature has different powers. Some of them have electric powers. Some of them have fire powers. Some of them have wind powers. you know, and it's kind of like, how can you create a team of these creatures that have different powers to complement different, you know, things you might want to do in a game, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're going to love Persona 4 then. But, yeah, I see what you mean with the Pokemon reference with that. It looks like Pokemon. Yeah, that's... Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because grinding has never really been that big of a problem with me, mm-hmm. to be honest. I don't mind grinding. I think in every single RPG I've ever played, I've had to grind at some point. You know, so it's not a new thing to me. I'm used to it. I expect that from any RPG that I play. Even like Skyrim or something like that, you know, I have to grind a bit to level up, strengthen up. So, you know, I can possibly understand about the story, about maybe it's a bit too childish, but then again, I've not like experienced it myself, so I can't really say anything. But I guess all will become clear on Thursday when I start playing it. So, yeah.
Hmm. It says the gameplay leaves a lot to be desired for Ni no Kuni. Hmm. So anyway, yeah. They gave Little Big Planet Karting a 7 and Ni no Kuni a 6.5.
Wow. Two completely different genres, but I thought Little Big Planet Karting sucked.
Did you play it?
I played... Was it the beta or the demo or whatever they released a while back? And I didn't like it whatsoever. Because I was more of, why would I play this when I can play Mario Kart? Which is a lot more fun, in my opinion. You know?
Yeah. Transform, yeah. I'm over here reading these comments. The reason I'm not picking up Little Big Planet Karting even for $10 is because I'd rather put that towards getting the Sega one.
Mm.
Sonic Racing Transform, that game is awesome. It really is.
Oh shit, and that's just reminding me, they actually released the Sonic Racing demo on Vita this week over here, so
that
I
shit
actually
is
want
awesome.
To download that and
yeah.
see what that's like.
That game is great, man. That game, I haven't played a game like that since Mario Kart that had a single player campaign that I really liked playing through. Like, every now and then I'll pick up the Vita and play through a couple like races to, you know, you're unlocking stuff, and it's perfectly fun. It's fun every time, and I haven't even touched the multiplayer that much. I played a couple games of it, but I'm still caught up in a single player, which is crazy. So yeah, that game is awesome. Very underrated, probably the best kart racer I've played since one of the older Mario Kart games.
Wow.
Yeah, highly recommend that. I'm surprised you haven't bought it, because it's really that good. It really is. Anyway,
and not only that, it's a budget title as well. It didn't come out at full price.
Oh yeah, dude, you suck.
So.
Scat, you're part of the problem. That's why we can't have good things. That's why Sega's broke, because Scat ain't buying shit.
Let me see, where's this demo? You know, and they haven't even got a demo for Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, so. That game is sick. That's a really great game. Like, seriously, I did this adjustment to the gamma and contrast on it, and it looks way better. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That game, I'm 8 hours in. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And I'm only halfway through. Wait, maybe 8 hours is a stretch. Let me see. I can actually pull that up. I know it's at least 6 hours in. Let me see. So I'm not talking shit.
Oh, they need to get some different games on PlayStation Plus, you know, for Vita. Still got Uncharted and Gravity Rush on there.
I'm gonna delete Uncharted off of my Vita. Oh, I already did. I think I deleted Uncharted off of my Vita. Because I never play it, and when I do, I get frustrated by all the cutscenes, and like, I don't know if it's the best. It's not the best pick up and play game. It's a good game, but I don't think I ever want to play it again. I should have got.
I beat it enough times.
I should have got that one in the cart.
To play it again.
I should have got that in a cart. I'm starting to think the games with just single player campaigns should be bought with a cart, like bought the physical copy, because that way, you know, there's a high chance you're not going to pick up a campaign and play it over, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm 10 hours in. 10 hours in on Ninja Gaiden Sigma Plus. And I'm on chapter 13. I think there's 19 chapters in that game.
Right.
So maybe I'm a little bit further than halfway, but I'm like, maybe not even two-thirds. Maybe I'm like something like that. Crazy. Awesome game. Totally got my money's worth. And then part two comes out in February, which I loved. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. So anyway, so I guess we are, anything else we missed before we close up?
No, I don't think so.
Close up shop. Well, alright. BrooklynKing.com, Game Mangs Podcast, and we out. Peace.
Peace.
Sally got a one-track mind. It doesn't matter if it's yours or mine. Cause if you're getting dough and you wanna get with her, yeah,
you can get her.
Yo. See, Sally got a one-track mind. It doesn't matter if it's yours or mine. Cause if you're getting dough and you wanna get with her, yeah,
you can get her.
I knew a girl named Sally who tastes great, exquisite. Saks Fifth Avenue bag made a visit. When she was a child, her parents had money. She was spoiled rotten, and now things have gotten worse. She's a professional, she'll start to switch if a punk is in the itch. I watched her grow into a neighborhood, ran around town with every Tom, Dick, and Joe. Quite amusing, the little did she know that word got around that Sally was down. Sweet 16, but she looked